Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Text number 24-25. So we have a 25th verse. I'll read first our text number 24, and then we'll chant together text 25. Tarheva sarasastasman niskramantam sahang nugam upayyarmanam amara pravaram viburam mugai. Together with this one. Tapta hemanakayabhyam. Tapta hemanakayabhyam. Shiti kantam chilochanam. Prasada samakum viksha. Animur jata kotukaha. Tapta hemanakayabhyam shiti kantam chilochanam prasada samukam, excuse me, prasada samukam riksha panur jatakotikaha. Tapta hemanakayabhyam iti kantam chilachanam asada samakum viksha panumur jati kotikaha. Certainly. Sarasa, from the water. Kasmat, therefrom. Niskramantam, coming out. Saha Anugam, accompanied by great souls. Upagiyamanam, glorified by the followers. Amarapravaram, the chief of the demigods. Vibhuta Anugai, followed by his associates. Taptahima, molten gold. Niskaya Abhyam, bodily features. Sitakantam, blue throat. Trilochanam, with three eyes. Prasada, merciful. Sumukam, beautiful face. Viksha, seeing. Pranumu, offered obeisances. Jata, aroused. Kotukaha, being amazed by the situation. Translation. The Prachetas were very fortunate to see Lord Shiva, the chief of the demigods, emerging from the water with his associates. His bodily luster was just like molten gold. His throat was bluish, and he had three eyes which looked very merciful upon his devotees. He was accompanied by many musicians who were glorifying him. As soon as the Prachetas saw Lord Shiva, they immediately offered their obeisances in great amazement and fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The word Vibhud An Ugai indicates that Lord Shiva is always accompanied by the denizens of the higher planets known as Gandharvas and Kanaras. They are very expert in musical science, and Lord Shiva is worshipped by them constantly. In pictures, Lord Shiva is generally painted white, but here we find that the colors of his skin are not exactly white, but like molten gold, or a glowing yellowish color. Because Lord Shiva is always very, very merciful, his name is Ashutosh. Amongst all demigods, Lord Shiva can be pacified even by the lowest class of men. We need only to offer him obeisances and leaves of the bael tree. Thus his name is Ashutosh, which means that he is pleased very quickly. Generally those who are very fond of material prosperity approach Lord Shiva for such benediction. The Lord, being very merciful, quickly awards all blessings the devotees ask him for. The demons take advantage of his leniency and sometimes take benedictions from Lord Shiva, which can be very dangerous to others. For instance, Vrikashura took a benediction from Lord Shiva by which he could kill anyone he touched on his head. Although Lord Shiva sometimes very liberally gives such benedictions to his devotees, the difficulty is that the demons, being very cunning, sometimes want to experiment improperly with such benedictions. For instance, after receiving his benediction, Vrikashura tried to touch the head of Lord Shiva. Devotees of Lord Vishnu, however, have no desire for such benedictions, and Lord Vishnu does not give his devotees benedictions which would cause disturbance to the whole world. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Prachetas were very fortunate to see Lord Shiva, the chief of the demigods, emerging from the water with his associates. His bodily luster was just like molten gold. His throat was bluish, and he had three eyes, which looked very mercifully upon the devotees. He was accompanied by many musicians who were glorifying him. As soon as the Prachetas saw Lord Shiva, they immediately offered their obeisances in great amazement and fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Adunati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Malita Vijayana Tasmai Sri Ravina Mahayana. So one time, I was fortunate enough to do some dramas in Maharashtra. And we were going through some Krishna Leela in the drama's 10th canto. We did the whole 10th canto in drama. And so when we came to Putana's Leela, Putana killing Krishna, then one girl, quite in Pune, this is in Pune, in Maharashtra, quite sort of modern town, educated people. Anyway, the boys and the girls were playing in the drama, so it was a risky business in India, anyway. Girls don't often play in dramas. But this part of Putana came, And literally upon thinking upon that part, I was a director of the drama. One girl came to me. And, you know, she begged me. She said, I want to play that part, you know. And she was quite, you know, even without a costume. she actually even knew. She was very conscious of her, the way she appeared. Her teeth were a little crooked. She was a little big in the body. She was not what you call totally attractive. And she said, I want to play that part. I want to play that part. And I was asking why. She said, I want to become purified of all the poison in my heart, you know. Anyway, as the drama, we only had one day to practice the dramas. There were sometimes 24-act plays, so it was quite spontaneous. Anyway, no practice was there. And her father, anyway, getting close to the time of the drama, you know, we're dressing up in the costume, and, you know, we had a costume from India, good costume makers, so we're putting nice costume on her, and, you know, blackening some teeth, putting her in some dark colors. And anyway, the father came to me, and he was practically in tears. He said he was fighting with his daughter before he saw me. He said, no, you can't play that part. And there was a whole scene going on, you know. And then the girl, she was quite defiant of her father. She came to, you know, she didn't say no to her father. I won't tell him no. But at the time of the play, she was there, and she was dressed, and she was ready to play the part. And I felt very, I felt some extra love for her. I felt some extra, you know, like something special. And I was thinking, Lord Shiva, he's not an ordinary person. He's not an ordinary person. He has his own tattva. He has his own realm. He has his own planetary system. Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva, is also not of this world. It's not in this material world. It actually goes into the abode of the eternal. It bumps into the Paravyoma. It's not of this world. Lord Brahma's abode is the topmost planet in this world, but Shiva's own abode is beyond. And so his appearance sometimes it can be very off-putting. Can be very, you know, if we judge by the externals, then, you know, for many people that's not attractive. You know, skulls and how he dresses sometimes in the ash from the crematorium. Although I believe that's the ash and the bones of Vaishnavas, the transcendental jewelry. He has sap, you know, around his neck. You know, he's dressing in tiger skin, and his blanket is made from elephant hide. The body of one demon elephant approached him, he killed that demon, and he wears the skin as a blanket. You know, if he was to walk in. Of course we know who he is, but we'd be amazed, isn't it? We'd be amazed. So this last word here in Sanskrit, kautukaha, being amazed by the situation. Of course, in this situation, Lord Shiva appeared in a golden form. He was a golden form. So we know from the scriptures that he was given special services. And his services of dressing up with such makeup are given to him as an attire to bewilder the living entities and to cheat those that are in the mode of ignorance, to take away, not to cheat, to cheat them, but at the same time to engage them in the service of Krishna. So he has many special services. Just to think of a few, he catches the Ganga. Who else could catch the Ganga on his head, you know? I'm looking at him just as a Vaishnava. His services is due to Krishna. He is doing for Krishna some special services. You know, he catches Ganga on his head because Ganga is coming from the higher realms, this middle realm, and goes down to the lower planet. So in this realm, who else could catch? No one could catch Ganga. It's a powerful river. Ganga is powerful. Not only does he catch her, but he bewilders her in his japa. You know, she's a powerful personality. She can't come out from there. She also doesn't want to come out because she wants to associate with him, but that's another leela. Is one of his services. Then also Neelakant. You know, the churning of the milk ocean, when they churn the milk ocean, these are quite amazing services, aren't they? You know, if you look at our service, what service we do. So this whole churning of the ocean, milk ocean, where incarnation, Dasavatar Kumar has energy back and Mandara Mountain comes on his back, is churned by Visukhi. And Vishnu sits on the top because there's a little imbalance, the whole, you know, churning business. And so first, whenever we do any sacrifice, isn't it? Whenever we do endeavor for Krishna, any preaching, any endeavor to become Krishna conscious, any extra effort in this world to produce something wonderful, then quite often we're quite amazed, isn't it? Do you ever get amazed when you try and do some big service for Krishna or something, then all of a sudden all these impurities come out? First, we have to become purified. So that halahala poison was coming. So much so, floating on the top of the ocean, that all the creatures in the ocean were suffocating, dying because of this hala poison. So we know he's called Nilakant because he drank that. He got the task, isn't it? Or drinking. That's quite a big service, isn't it? I'm thinking I'm putting on this or doing that, but he drank the poison, you know. And of course, one description is there, he doesn't let it go down. It's in his throat, isn't it? So it stays in his throat. One description is that his wife grabs his throat and holds that poison there. Another description is he won't let it go to the heart because he knows that Krishna's in the heart. So he keeps in the throat. So the throat becomes blue. Very beautiful, actually. Nilakant, you know, his throat becomes blue. It's a big service, isn't it? You know, to attract all those in the mode of ignorance. You know, if you go into a city where there's very fallen people that are into drugs and intoxication, illicit activity, very sinful, very tamasic, dark activities. I don't know if you've ever tried preaching in those type of environments. I've, you know, tried sometimes, thinking I can go there. But actually, if you go like a Vaishnava, you know, dressed like a devotee, it's quite a contrast, you know. If you go amongst those people that have their hair like this, and they've got all sorts of piercings on the body and tattoos all over the body, and they're getting intoxicated, and you try and talk to them, they're not very interested. But if you go and you somehow have some features like them, you can enter in, isn't it? One can enter into that place. Just like we heard, we glorify a little bit Padmalokchan Prabhu yesterday. He was at the Kumbh Mela at Allahabad. And we'll say this for his glorification, but he was like that. He was amongst all the Nagas, or he was in the Kumbh Mela where Naga Babas are popular, even for Westerners to see. And he had no clothes on. Maybe a copan made out of a chain or something. And they brought it to the attention of Srila Prabhupada. And he was giving out books in that way. People were attracted, you know. Some people, maybe even that mode, were attracted. Oh, here's an interesting Baba. And then he'd give a book, you know. Inside it is Krishna Katha, you know. So, it's transcendental behavior. But if you judge him from the outside and the dress on the outside, then you can be bewildered by him. So like that, he was giving out many books, and Srila Prabhupada, they said to Prabhupada, you know, maybe they notified him, told him, you know, and Prabhupada found out, they asked him, and, you know, and Prabhupada said, you know, giving books, Prabhupada. And his score, I think, was higher than the others. That's how the story goes. This guy, he had a high score. So, you know, in some instances, you know, and Lord Shiva, he takes on services like that. You know, Devi asks him in the Vishnu Purana, he's asked in the Puranas, Devi asks him, why are you dressing? You know, it's described if a devotee wears Urdhva Pundra this way, horizontal lines, if he has bones and ashes, if he's in the crematorium, like that, then you shouldn't go near that person. You shouldn't hear from that person. One should not associate with that person. One shouldn't dress like that. It's in the higher Shastra. But so Parvati's asking Lord Shiva, you know, you're a greatest devotee of Vishnu. Why are you dressing like this? Why you know, you've got bones and you've got jata and you've got a sharp, a snake, and you've got a tiger skin. Yeah, this is for Pasandis. And then Lord Shiva says, I was given, he goes on to explain that Lord Vishnu came and gave him this very special service. A very special service meant his duty was to bewilder those in the mode of ignorance so they don't have direct access to Krishna. And so through the different philosophers, Jaimini, Buddha, even it's described, Jamadagni, Gautam Rishi, these different preceptors in the philosophy, he gave the tantric scriptures. And those tantric scriptures, they cheat. You can't get such easy access to Krishna. He's a gatekeeper, he's a dikpala, he's a protector. And so wherever we see a temple of Krishna, very close by you'll find Lord Shiva is there. And not only that, his wife is there. If you're in Vrindavan, you're familiar with that. Even in Mayapur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he established some Shivas. And also we have Praudamaya Vrida Shiva. And now in Rajpur, we have also Lord Shiva. He's somehow, he's under his peepal tree there. And Devi in the form of Simantini will also be manifesting. So somehow or another in these holy dhams, Lord Shiva is there. What happens is a sculpture, he takes away all the negative energy. A sculpture takes away all the unwanted material so that you're left with the positive material. He spends his whole time taking away the unnecessary. So you can't go, we can't come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can't come to Krishna Leela unless we go through Guru. We can't come to the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya unless we go through Guru. So Lord Shiva also represents Adi Guru, he's the original Guru. And he's a worshipper of Sankarshan. Sankarshan is the predominating expansion of the Chaturvyuha expansion. He represents the false ego. So this principle of false ego is what deciphers us. Can we enter into Krishna Leela? Or are we not qualified for that? So Lord Shiva, he has two potencies. It's described he has two potencies. One is called Sakapata Kripa and the other is called Niskapata Kripa. Sakapata Kripa means without hypocrisy. Kapata means hypocrisy. So Niskapata Kripa means, sorry, without hypocrisy, and Sakapata Kripa means with hypocrisy. So one way Lord Shiva can cheat, his wife is Parvati, his wife is the material energy, his wife is Devi Maya, and even Kali, Durga, they're expansions of that feminine energy. So they come down and attract those in the tamasic energy and they engage them and they engage their services so they gradually, the consciousness becomes raised to higher gunas, you know, from tamasic to rajasic to sattvic. So Lord Shiva has very many special services. And as devotees sometimes we hear, we sometimes feel that it can be that devotees think we're worshippers of Vishnu, we're worshippers of Krishna. We won't sort of pay much respect to Lord Shiva. But actually, if he was to walk in, if he was to walk into the temple room, or if Ganesh was there, of course most of us know, but I'm sure he'd be given the arti, Jananivas would give him the arti tray. Isn't it? So when we're in the Dham, when we're in the holy Dham, when we're around his special places of dwelling, we should also give respect to him in the right way. So a devotee of Krishna worships Lord Shiva in conjunction with understanding he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's He is actually the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we serve him in that respect. Janani Das Prabhu was telling me one of his first questions to Srila Prabhupada, if I can word it properly, was, do we worship Lord Shiva as Bhagavan, was it, or his servant? Something like that. So, Prabhupada, I thought that was a very amazing question for a young devotee, isn't it? If that was your first question. Was that wording correct? So you worship as a Bhagavan or as a devotee of Krishna? And Prabhupada said, so what? It's a very wonderful question, actually. So also, but Lord Shiva is also an ally in a transcendental sense. Lord Shiva, another form of Lord Shiva, is represented as Hanuman. It's described he has some manifestation of Shiva. And also Bhishma is described to have some sort of a potency of Lord Shiva, half Lord Shiva like that. So it's described by the Acharyas that Hanuman and Bhishma are also present in Madhva Acharya. So we're in the Brahma Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. So the potencies of Lord Shiva are also infested in our Sampradaya. So it's good to have due respect for him. Now I want to tell a brief story relating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Shiva to more immediate ISKCON pastimes. Of course, I'm borrowing here from Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who was very expert at expounding Shiva Tattva, Guru Tattva in Bhuvaneshwara. That was the place of Lord Shiva. So, it's a very intimate leela, but, and I don't know if I'm qualified to speak of that, but I'll beg of your mercy, and because it's got some relationship with Lord Shiva. So I was looking at Krishna on the altar as Radha Madhava, and I was thinking he's in his tribangi threefold bending form. He has his pankaj, peacock feather, and he's dressed Vijayanti Mala. Extremely beautiful, Braj Madhurya, Madhurya Braj Leela. And he's got jewelry, beautiful jewels on his hands and arms. And then I was thinking at this pastime where at one particular point, Radharani, she's in Man. Man means her loving sulkiness, sulky nature. Because Krishna had been enjoying elsewhere and his bodies were marked in a way which brought up her man and her jealousy. And then he wasn't allowed to enter that particular arena in the forest, the kunjas with her. Her guardians were there in the form of Lalita and Vishakha. And they were stopping this kapat. Krishna, this kapat means a cheating. It was stopping him coming in. You can't come in here. And Swamini Roy Radhika, she was in Man, very sulky, quite moody, and you know, because of loving separation from Krishna, actually. She wouldn't let him in. So he tried in different ways to enter. He tried as a woman. He dressed up as a gopi and tried to enter. And he tried as I think as a barber. It's described in this small book. He tries as a barber and begins to paint the feet of Radharani. He gets in the disguise of a woman, begins to paint the feet, and then he can't help himself. When he's touching her feet, he writes Sham on her feet. And of course she gets a shock and gets angry, and the man comes on very strong and she kicks him out, and you know, chastising him, and Lalita Vishakha, they send him away. And like that, then he tries as a florist. He comes in as a florist, and then he says, "Oh, you're not attracted to the color black anymore. You don't seem to wear anything dark anymore. No dark clothes." He's actually completely turns away from anything. There's a blue color, and even the picture frames on her were dark. She removed them and painted them with chandan, so they were white. She wasn't attracted to anything dark. Anyway, he's describing, "You should wear this blue flower," he's trying to get her attracted to the color blue. And She won't put it on. You know, when he comes to put it on, you know, then, you know, she gets angry again because she gets reminded of, you know, Krishna. So he gets angry and puts him out. So finally he goes to Brindadevi and he says, well, what to do? You know, what shall I do? And Yogamaya, they decide, well, you know, they describe to him, well, you should actually go to see Lord Shiva in Kailash. And, you know, go and request of him how to become a Prem Bhikshu. A Bhikshu means a beggar for Prem. One who's begging for Prem. Where we should all be Prem Bhikshu. We should come to the point of greed, where we want to get Prem in this world. So he goes to Kailash. It's described in a song by the Gadai Giri singers in Bhubaneshwara, an ancient traditional song. He goes to Kailash, and Lord Shiva's a bit amazed because there's Krishna's Tripangi form, and Parvati comes out, and he's like that, and he's requesting, I want to dress as a bhikshu. Bhikshu means you grow your jata, you know, you grow some long hair, you don't comb it, it forms dreadlocks, you know, and you dress up with, you know, take off your Vijayanti mala and put on a snake. He's telling Krishna like this, get rid of your peacock feather, get rid of this chandan and aguru and camphor on the body which is smeared on Krishna's body, and put on the ashes, and don't carry any more your flute, put your flute in a bag, and carry a kamandalu, and carry a small bag, a bhikshu juli, a bag. You see these sadhu Shaivites, they carry a bag, they put the begging, they're doing some begging there. So and then go and approach, you know, go and approach Srimati Radharani in this way. Become a Prem Bhikshu and beg for Prem. Go begging for Prem. Of course, this pastime Gaugavinda has a very intimate leela which also relates to Ramananda Roy, who lives in the who was in the south in Vishakhapatnam. Ramananda Roy, of course, we know as Vishakha, and Swarup Damodar was Lalita. So he's remembering a previous pastime, Ramananda Roy, and so when he's in Vishakha's mode, so he remembers that pastime. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as a sannyasi, he first sees him as a sannyasi Thakur, you know. Like that, he sees him as somebody who's crying, a crying personality. He sees him as a sannyasi. You know, even devotees in Navadvip, they don't like to see him shaved hair. They don't like him. There's a particular mood where they don't like him when he got his hair cut and took sannyas. He went across the river. Some devotees, they don't like that pastime. He's taking sannyas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't really have to take sannyas. He's Rasaraj, Gauranga. But his compassion for the souls in this world, then he takes sannyas. So in that way he's approaching, so Ramananda Roy seeing like Vishakha, he sees Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like a bhikshu, a sannyasi. And then of course, going back to the Krishna Lila, Krishna actually, he says, oh let me, Vishakha that says, our Swamini Radhika, she's a little bit, she's in Man, you know, can you give some astrology or Jyotish, tell when she'll again see her beloved. So he says, oh, all right. So they allow him into the kunj. So he goes in disguise. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Supreme Personality of Godhead in disguise. He's able to come amongst us and give us the most auspicious. So he comes in to the kunj, and then they say, can you tell by looking at the lines of Radharani's hand, can you tell, you know, what is their future? When will she again meet? And he says, I am a Tridandi. This is Krishna, you know. He's got his thing. I am Tridandi Sannyasi. I won't touch the hand of any girl, you know. And then he says, but I can tell by looking at the lines of the face. Of course, she's got her veil on. I can tell by looking at the lines on the face. So then he gets closer, and then of course they take off the veil, and then he gets darshan, the Radharani. He can't hold that bhikshu form anymore. He comes again, Tribangi, and So, like that, Krishna approaches Radharani in that way. He gets into the kunj. And so Ramananda Roy, the next thing he sees is Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna separate. Isn't that Radha Krishna is separate? Radha and Krishna. He sees like that. And then of course, this pastime is not something devotees should study unless we're advanced and I'm not qualified to speak it. But also, he sees another form. He sees another form of Gauranga, where Radha and Krishna are together. You know, Gauranga means Radha and Krishna combined. And he sees the most intimate form of Radha and Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's described as Kanchana Panjalika, like a beautiful golden doll. And so like that, Vishakha is observing. So these Gadai Giri singers are most familiar with intimate leela. So we see how Lord Shiva, he is also the guardian of the Ras Leela. We can't enter Ras Leela, we can't enter the pastimes of Ras without going through Lord Shiva. And it's described that form of Gopishwara Shiva, he is actually Sadhu Shiva. These other different forms of Shiva in Vrindavan, like Nandishwara, Chakleshwara, Mathureshwara, they're all different Rudra forms of Shiva. But Gopishwara Shiva is described to be the like Sadhu Shiva. So Sadhu Shiva is non-different, if you like, than Vishnu. That's the original. Different ways to look at Lord Shiva is tattva vichar, looking at him from the point of view of tattva, which means looking at, if you like, his forms of the lingam and the procreation in this world, starting with the glance of Mahavishnu, which represents the shadow potency of that glance, represents the jyoti lingam, which comes into this realm and procreates. And so we see many forms of Lord Shiva in the Lingamani Yoni all over India. That Jyoti Lingam split into so many different, I think, 12 principal lingams in India, which are guardians of different holy dharms. So, but that Gopishwara Mahadev, he's a special, very special for the devotees. And Why is that? Because we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we're following in the line of the Satgoswamis of Vrindavan, and so in that line we have privilege and the right to enter the most intimate leela of Radha Krishna. And every other pastimes, all other relationships, that of parenthood, that of servitorship, that of neutrality, that of parenthood, that of even swakya or marriage pastimes, they're all supportive of this parakya mood, which is in Vrindavan, in Vraj. Not only in Vraj, if you boil it down, boil the milk anymore, even more you find it only in Govardhan. And then even more boil the milk, you'll only find those pastimes in most intimate places, Nidibhan and Radhakund. But one, we can't just be qualified and unenter there. We can't just enter that place. We have to go through Gopishwara. Of course, he was a form that also had a desire. Shiva, he is also wanting to enter Ras. And he entered one Kund. What's the name of the Kund? Wait, Lord Shiva goes into the Kund, he comes out of Gopi. Did anyone help me with the name? Is it Mansarova? Now one kund in Vrindavan, when you go in the Braj Mandal Parikrama, you can go to that place, and Lord Shiva enters into a kund, and he comes out as a beautiful gopi, and other gopis are recognizing who he is. You know, they wonder who is this new girl, and they try and push him out, and then Krishna comes and embraces him and says, you can get the special place of being a guardian. So we see these services, they're not ordinary services. So tattva vichar, then we have Aishvarya vichar, all the different pastimes where Lord Shiva fights with different demons. You know, Jarasandha, like Vrikashora had special boons. When his head was cut, this is when his head was to be cut off. He didn't also want to be killed, but it's described when his head would fall on the lap of his father, isn't it? Then at that time, Jarasandha could be killed. Otherwise, he couldn't be killed. So he was met. His father was meditating, and to the sun god, and meditation with the eyes closed. And then his head was cut, and the head was thrown in the lap. Landed in his, you know, it's almost a. There's always a loophole. Shiva gives easily benedictions, but he leaves a loophole where where Krishna can become free and the living entities can become free of. Because Lord Shiva also fights with Krishna sometimes. And so Vrikashora is another one where he actually has a he has an attraction to enjoy with Parvati, or he just glances at Parvati. And that's after he gets given the benediction that Vrikashora, that anyone's head he touches will split into so many pieces. Of course, he goes tracing Shiva all over the universe because Shiva realizes, you know, he's going to touch me because he wants to enjoy with my wife the material energy. So he tries to chase. He goes all through the different planetary realms. And finally, he comes to a place. Krishna realizes the only one who can save him is me. So he appears, Krishna appears as a Brahmana, and he's got deer skin on, and he's got such an effulgence that when Vrikashora sees him, he's just stunned and he stops. And Vishnu, in the form of a young Brahmana, he says, what are you doing? You know, he says, Shiva gave me this boon. Anyone's head to touch, we'll split. And Krishna, he said, he was very smart. He said, oh, don't take any notice of Lord Shiva. He's Pagal. He smokes so much ganja. You know, he's crazy. Look at the Daksha Yaga. Daksha was right. Daksha was correct. He just lives in the crematorium. He's dirty. He wears bones. He said, you should try it out. You're chasing him all over the place. You should try it out. You should try it on yourself. So he tries it on himself. Similarly, Banasura is another one, Usa Aniruddha pastime, which took place in Assam, Usa Aniruddha, where, you know, Banasura, he has 1,000 arms, he gets a benediction from Krishna, he plays Mridanga so beautifully, and Shiva is known as Nataraj. He's a very expert dancer, so he needs the drum, the beat, the taal, everything has to be there so Banasura could play nicely. And he became very, very powerful. And there's a big fight between even Shiva and Vishnu fight. They oppose one another. It's transcendental leela. This is Aishvara Vichara with Lord Shiva. And then we have Naravichara, three different ways of understanding Lord Shiva. So Naravichara means worldly pastimes. Here, like human-like pastimes. So Lord Shiva also comes in human-like pastimes. Like say in Vrindavan, he came and he wanted to see Krishna's boyhood, childhood pastimes. So he comes, we know the famous story, how he comes as Nandeshwara. And he comes down all the way from Kailash, and he's dressed in that unusual way. And Mother Yashoda, you know, she comes to the door. Here's Sannyasi Shiva, you know, dressed in such a fashion. You know, and she gets frightened and says, "You can't see my Lala." You know, we know the story from Dinabandhu. They don't let him in. He sends them away, and he gets quite sad because he's Krishna's topmost devotee. He wants to experience Krishna's childhood pastimes. He goes about, there's one place about a kilometer from Nandagram where he stays under a forest and he performs austerities. And then Lala, baby Krishna, you know, in his little boyhood form, he gets distressed and he gets depressed and he's saying, you know, and he actually gets a fever, something like that. And then they say, what's wrong with him, you know? And then they think maybe that Shaivite, that sadhu, he might have put a curse, maybe some tantra, some mantra on our Lala. You know, go and find him. when they found him and brought him back. And of course, he gets darshan of Shiva, and says he can touch him, and then Shiva gets a special benediction that he can always be in Vrindavan as the form of the hill in which the pastimes, boyhood pastimes of Krishna are taking place. So he takes up the form of the hill. So in Vrindavan we have Nandishwar, and Varshana we have Lord Brahma's situation. So Lord Shiva is present in that form of the Nandishwara. So even any stone from that place or any piece fragment is described to have the potency of Lord Shiva from Nandagaon. So little pastimes about his dress, which are fascinating. One time there were some moonies in the forest, and they were claiming to be celibate, and they had overcome sex desire. So Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, they were aware of their consciousness. So they entered the forest, and Lord Shiva went as the perfection, beautiful male, and Lord Vishnu or Krishna went as a perfect female. So when Krishna comes in as the perfect female, then all the munis, they were performing yajna in the forest, tapas, and advertising their celibacy and their freedom from sex desire. And then Krishna comes through dressed as a beautiful woman, and like Mohini Murthy, and they all become extremely agitated. And they leave the fire sacrifice, they get up and they run to him and say, marry me, and they start fighting over this form. And they get, they all sort of think, wow, we were shaken then. And then, of course, then Lord Shiva comes and dressed in a very beautiful male. He can be the most beautiful. So he comes in, and all the females, all their wives, all of a sudden in front of their husbands, just like Parvati when Shiva was chasing after Mohini Murthy, she's the material energy. Lord Shiva left the whole material energy. He left his wife Parvati to chase after, of course, Krishna. And we should also, it's a good example for us. But the Munis like that, they chased after, their wives. And so they got angry. So they decided, right, we'll form a fire yajna. And over that yagi will create some personalities who will kill us. They'll destroy these two personalities. So they did a fire yagya, and then out came, first thing, one of the things that came out was a tiger. Jumped at Lord Shiva. And Shiva, he gets the tiger and takes off his skin and then wraps it around and ties it up. And next thing out comes, sharp, a big snake, a big serpent comes out, And Shiva picks up the serpent and, ties it around his head like a garland, And then, so like that. And then finally they think, all right, we'll create some more mantras, so they chant some more mantras, and out comes the personification of all sinful activities, like a dwarf, ugly, deformed dwarf form comes out of the fire and comes at Lord Shiva. And then he picks that form up. You see this form of Nataraj. You see him dancing. And he's dancing in a Nataraj. He's got one foot up in the air. And then he has one foot on that Papa Purush. That particular. So this unusual form of Nataraj, in a tiger skin and like that, then that's a pastime relating to that. And then, of course, we'll finish with something a little humorous. We heard from one devotee who could also talk a lot from the Puranas. He was talking about when Shiva got married to Parvati, then he knew that Himavan's wife, Menaka, she was a little bit proud, thinking, Lord Shiva, he's my son-in-law. I had a marriage recently of my family, and now, my wife was very eager to see the husband, was eager to see the man who was coming to give our daughter to that household. So you're waiting for him to come, So Menaka was waiting, the mother of Parvati was waiting to see what her husband looked like. So all the guests were arriving at the wedding. They were all coming. And so, there was Surya and Chandra and all different demigods dripping in gold and, dressed very nicely. But Lord Shiva, as the, the controller of the false ego, he could see inside the heart of Menaka, Himavan's wife. You could see in her heart she was a little bit proud. Some pride was there of You know, my son-in-law, he's been conquered by my daughter, Parvati, and he's just a beggar, you know, he's a beggar. So he thought, I know. Then he dressed. So when I saw my son-in-law coming, he had a beautiful turban on, a golden turban, and wasn't it? And nice dhoti and chadar, and I was thinking, oh, yes. And my wife was saying, oh, he's amazing, you know. So she's waiting, Menaka's waiting for the bridegroom to come. And he thinks, I know her pride, so he dresses up. He puts on his makeup, you know, the ash from the crematorium. He puts on his bangles, you know, snakes and the garland and tiger skin and finally elephant hide, you know, and the bones. So when, you know, they're all waiting, all the gopis are there with full, all the female attendants are all there with full water pots thinking, you know, it's beautiful. They were like that, so they were also waiting. And then Lord Shiva arrives and Bhairav form was a very tamasic looking form, grotesque looking form. So he arrives in that form and Menaka freaks out and all the gopis, they get frightened and they drop their pots and they run away. And then he takes on another beautiful form, just like he's come out of a lake. He's not covered in ashes. He has his golden form. So he takes on a very beautiful form. And all of a sudden, all those attendant girls, they come running back. You know, their hair is disheveled, just like the gopis of Vrindavan. Some jewelry has fallen down. They all come running back because he's very attractive. So Lord Shiva, he's like that actor on the stage in a drama. That, you know, he plays a part. And he can. He's very attractive even to the devotees. I know many devotees are attracted. Because we're attracted to... One time in Vrindavan, Braj Mandal Parikrama, one time we were with the Vaishnavas, the assembled ISKCON Parikrama, and we were there, and in walked this yogi from the Himalayas, and he was covered in ash, and he just had kopans on. And Lokanath Swami was there, and various sort of senior Vaishnavas, and we were taking prasadam, and all of a sudden this yogi came walking in, and he walked straight up to where there was a stage and there was a harmonium, and he just started to play beautiful bhajans, and everybody was stunned. And so like Sukadeva Goswami is described, he's the topmost devotee, but he's described to be the topmost yogi. Maheshwara or Lord Shiva is the topmost yogi, but he's described to be the topmost devotee. So we offer him our humble respects and thank you very much for listening. Sorry for talking so long. Does anybody have any questions or realizations? Or...
The form of Lord Shiva that came out of the water before the Prachetas, he didn't have like the snake and the skulls, and he was golden, like a totally different form than we normally think of Lord Shiva.
It's amazing. It's just described here. It's amazing, you know, that they saw him in that way, and he can actually take on these different colors. I believe the white color that he takes on, it represents something. I don't know whether it's appeasement to those in the mode of ignorance. It's got a particular meaning that it's white. But his golden form, I'm not so sure about the pastime or whether that's his eternal form and color. I think the ash is just what makes him white. But like that, Parvati also can change her colors when she, one time Shiva called her Durga, black, because she had a dark body. Her body was black when she was born in Parvati, so she performed austerities for thousands of years to get a golden body to become Gaudi. So I'd imagine in their effulgent form, being a topmost tapasvi and yogi, he can exhibit that golden form is probably his real form, in the form of a worshipper of Vishnu, the topmost Vaishnava, and then she's Gaudi, not Kali. And he's also, I would say, golden and effulgent, like a Vaishnavas have that but I'm only speculating. Sorry. If anyone knows about his golden form, Chinnanirath. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.